something that really started probably 5 or 10 years ago with the advent of IP-based telephones. But since then, it's moved on much wider than that. And now we have all sorts of different networks, perhaps from offices, from telephones, and also from things like factories now that are all being joined together and connected. And that's creating lots of issues, obviously, because lots of different devices that weren't designed to be mixed together in that way are actually being interconnected. So things like factory machinery might now be on the same network as perhaps a PC or a telephone in an office.
And I keep hearing people talk, as particularly with the advent of IPv6, that eventually everything will essentially have an IP address, your refrigerator, and it could tell you when it's low on food or something like that. And so this seems like it will become even more of an issue moving forward.
Definitely so. It's the way everything's going. Obviously, more and more different organizations are starting to outsource almost all their operations now and lots of different parts of their business. And as part of that, all the different networks are being interconnected. That's allied to things like the move as well to more and more handheld devices. We've seen, you know, obviously recent releases from a certain U.S. Company in the past few weeks.
Yeah.
But also things like BlackBerries and mobile phones have Bluetooth in them, they have wireless, and they're all being interconnected.
And so, and this creates real security concerns, right?
It does, yes. The I think the main problem that's happening really is that traditionally everything was isolated. There was a network for telephones, there was a network for PCs, there was a network in the data center, and a lot of the barriers are disappearing. And so devices and services that operate on those devices that were designed to be really operated in isolation and that got their security either from obscurity, actually, you know, people didn't really know how to attack them, or got their security from being kept separate, are all being joined together now. And so attacks that perhaps were focused originally on say, PCs and on the browser are actually now becoming relevant for different types of device.
And increasingly, everything's going to more commercially based software, so people know how these things work, it seems.
It's true, yes. Everybody's looking for value, looking for the lowest cost, and looking for, solutions that can be interused. And inevitably, that's looking to the commercial end. For networks as well, that's happening. For example, organizations perhaps 10 years ago might have gone to a telecommunications company and hired a dedicated line between two of their buildings. That doesn't really happen anymore. Instead, organizations have an internet connection for each building, and they create a virtual network over the internet.
So the Information Security Forum, ISF, has come up with a couple of pointers, tips, hints, maybe even how-tos about how to deal with this issue. One is protect the core network services. Make sure that's really safe, right?
That's it. True. It's true. It's something we've looked at several times over the past few years, and most recently we've looked at this. And one of the things our memberships told us is you can't really trust a network anymore. It's not as safe as it used to be. You don't have the barriers at the edge of the organization. And one member actually said they treat their network now as if it's the internet. And the thing they focus on is availability. So they actually make sure that the network is robust and will keep operating to provide services for the devices.
Yeah, and it seems like people can almost misconfigure these things. You have now people who may not necessarily, because everything's so relatively easy to do, people who may not be necessarily techies configuring parts of the network, and that can lead to some problems, it seems.
That's true. I guess many security professionals have heard of the cases where somebody gets issued a laptop, they like to use wireless access, yeah. Perhaps they didn't have access in the courtyard just outside the building, or they wanted access in the cafe, so they go to the local big box electronics store, they spend $20-$30 on a wireless access point, plug it into the network, and magically they have wireless access. That's the kind of issue that can occur.
Yeah. Your number two is authenticate and authorize users. Make sure that you know who's on your network.
That's very true. Increasingly, these networks are being treated, I guess, almost public. Lots of organizations now have contractors. They have different third parties working in their buildings. You need to know who's using your network. So some organizations treat their network effectively as the internet, as an extension of the internet.
Yeah.
What they tend to do to deal with that is they have lots of different virtual networks running on top of that. So if you want to access confidential services, you actually have to log into the network. You have to identify yourself, and it creates an encrypted tunnel across that network.
Your number three, it gets a little bit more complex, and I understand what each of the individual words mean. I'm not sure I fully understood it when they're all put together. Create and implement a protection framework for endpoint devices that can no longer rely on the network for protection. Again, I understand all the words, but what does that mean in a total?
Okay, let's take a step back. Organizations in the old you know, several years ago, they had a secure boundary to the network. They had PCs on there. They pretty much knew what the PC was, what software was on there. Now we have devices. We have laptops. We have smartphones. We have desktop phones that can do email and lots of things. So organizations, what they need to do to protect the network and protect each device on the network, they need to run through pretty much a checklist for their devices to make sure the devices can protect themselves and don't really harbor anything nasty to other devices on the network. So it's things like antivirus. Everybody has antivirus now on their PCs. It's something you need to start thinking about for smartphones. A firewall. You can fit a firewall to laptops now, to desktop PCs. Again, you can get similar types of software now for smartphones. And it's those kind of things. Just run down a checklist to make sure that things are kept safe and secure. And things like storage, you can encrypt storage on your smartphone again, on laptops, on desktop PCs. We looked at 10 areas and said for each of those 10 areas, you may not necessarily actually put some controls in place, but just be aware of them and keep an eye on them.
And I'm almost surprised there haven't been more viruses and things coming on iPhones and even BlackBerries, which I think are even more out there than iPhones are. It almost surprised me a little bit.
It's true. I fully expected more of those type of attacks to have happened by now. And it's whether it's that they've been so small and so isolated, they've not really hit the radar yet, or whether I guess it comes down to luck in a lot of ways, because certainly that those devices are going to be the next point. It's where people have recognized now, especially I guess in the non-commercial sector and in the personal area, people are using their handheld devices more than their desktop PCs and laptops. And I guess it's kind of flipped from where it was, say, 10 years ago, where things started in the office and moved to the home. Now things tend to start in the home and move to the office. It's something that organizations are going to have to keep an eye on and be aware of.
Your fourth one is protect and manage services using the converged network, using technologies such as encryption and virtual LANs. What does that mean, and how do you get that done?
Okay, so what we said now is that the it's one big network, and across that network, you take that big network, you attach different devices to that network. So it might be printers, it might be PCs, it might be a camera in the corner of an office to watch and keep the office secure. Those devices have services, so it might be things like email, it might be telephone calls, video conferencing, or traditional services that run on PCs. So what we're saying is that the services now need to be aware that they're operating in a hostile environment. So email services, if you have an email client on your PC and it's sending an email to the server, that will then send it across the internet to a client or a customer or another organization. That link should be encrypted. The different services need to be aware that they exist in a hostile environment. So they just need to be thought of as in that way, rather than assuming that the network will protect them.
I think one of the biggest challenges out there in cybersecurity right now is people just feel overwhelmed. They feel almost attacked from every corner, and now with the mobile world just really taking off, they have to add that layer. How do you prioritize these things to make sure you're doing what you really need to do, and making sure you're doing some kind of risk assessment to that you're protecting what needs to be protected?
I guess that's the million-dollar question. Each organization, or I guess from a personal point of view, each individual user will just have to really think about what they're doing. A lot of this comes down to awareness as well. You can put lots of expensive technical controls in place, but if a user wishes to get around them, quite often they can find ways. So what we generally recommend is there's an awful lot of benefit that can be had for organizations to actually educate their users and make users aware of the dangers and just say, think about things before you do them. Or because you can do something, it doesn't necessarily mean that, that it's the right thing to do.
Very nice. Quickly explain what your organization is, what role you play.
Okay, we're an independent organization. We have about 300 members around the world. They're a mix of private organizations and some governmental organizations as well. And what we do effectively is pool knowledge and pool research on their behalf. So they will decide each year that this particular areas that we need to look at, and in this case it was network convergence. There might be another area, say, looking at contracts with third parties. And we basically pick their brains, get the best ideas, get the best solutions for each of our members, and produce a consolidated report or guidance that each of them can use and each of them can share, really just to avoid duplication of effort.
Great. Anything else I didn't ask you about that I should have?
I don't think so. I guess the main thing really is this is here. Network convergence has happened. It's not something you can avoid now. So really, organizations just need to be ready for it, need to realize it's happened, and just look at the steps they need to take to protect their information.
And it's not hard. It's just it takes some thinking about.
That's true, yeah. It's something that a lot of the rules and a lot of the different methods and techniques that you need to use and need to put in place to protect your information, it's the same things you've always been doing that perhaps now need to be applied more widely to more types of devices or more types of services, but the knowledge is out there. People know how to do this.